Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sanghvi Movers Limited Q4 FY 2022-23 post-earnings conference call. Joining us on this call today are Mr. Rishi C. Sanghvi, Managing Director, and Mr. Shyam D. Gajale, Joint Managing Director and CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishi Sanghvi, Managing Director, Sanghvi Movers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Melissa, for the introduction. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for attending our Q4 and FY 2023 analyst and investor call. This is Rishi, Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Shyam Gajale is here with us, who is the Joint Managing Director and Chief Financial Officer. I will quickly take you through some highlights across the board and then open up for Q&A. In terms of our financial performance, our top line for FY 2023 has grown to 486 crores, which is a 30% growth year-on-year from FY 2022. The net profit after tax was 112 crores, which is a 381% growth over FY 2022 and is a historical high for our company. During the quarter and throughout the year, we have showcased robust operating performance. Our consistent focus on debt reduction over the past 3 years has further strengthened the company's balance sheet. It has enabled us to generate surplus cash for future capital expenditures and investment opportunities in allied businesses. Our optimized cost structure has further strengthened EBITDA despite escalating operating expenses. Our EBITDA in FY 2023 has grown to 59%, which is an improvement of 12% over FY 2022, where the EBITDA was 47%. This has resulted in an improvement in our average blended yield to 1.9% and has touched 2.06% in the last quarter. Our average capacity utilization has increased to 83% for FY 2023, which was 76% in FY 2022. We are also strengthening our position. We have also strengthened our position by adding 12 new cranes and 68 ancillary equipments in our portfolio by incurring a CapEx of 163 crores for FY 2023. Our order book stands at 299 crores as of 4th May 2023, which will be executed during this financial year. I would like now to open up the floor for Q&A and hand it back to the moderator, Melissa. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Deepan Sankaranarayanan from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and good evening, everyone. First of all, I would like to congratulate management for conducting the call after a long time, so this would be very helpful, and please continue this for a long time. So first question from my side, so when do we expect India's annual wind capacity implementation moving to 6-8 gigawatts per annum from the levels of 1.6 gigawatt for the past 5 years? It has been stuck over that range.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. So just to answer the question, in FY 2023, the wind industry added about 2.3 gigawatts of capacity addition.
In the last financial year, it was a transition year as the industry has been laying the groundwork to achieve India's ambitious target of 140 gigawatts of renewable wind energy. So this primarily involves building associated infrastructure and capabilities around metmas, grid infrastructure, substations, acquiring and developing sites. We looking forward, we have order visibility and market pull for FY24 that the country may add 5 gigawatts of capacity addition in wind.
Okay. Sir, even though the auction and bidding has happened over the past few years at a very high level, but the installation has been at a very lower level. So they had a lot of concerns. So has the government addressed all those concerns for this level of jump of the 6 to 8 gigawatts per year kind of installation happening at India? So is it possible still?
So I've already answered your question because I've told you that the industry is building infrastructure around substations, grid infra, acquiring land, developing sites. It is both a private and public issue, and I believe that the step of removing the reverse auctions mechanism and assuring about 8 gigawatts of annual bidding will be a great boost to not only the wind industry but also India's renewable target for 140 gigawatts of wind energy.
Okay, that's great to know, sir. And next from my side is even this repowering potential of 25 gigawatts is announced by this National Institute of Wind Energy. So does that also add a lot of potential to this?
Yeah, so it's an exciting opportunity, but till now it needs to play out and there is no traction at the ground level.
Okay. So, and also, are we planning to cater to this offshore wind power installation market as well in future? That segment also offers a lot of potential. They are talking about 30 gigawatts by 2030.
I'm a believer that until the onshore capacity potential of the country is not exploited, offshore power is too expensive. There is still about 25 to 40 gigawatts of additional potential which is totally untapped in the country at 140 meters. And at 160 meters, it is more than 100 gigawatts. So until we exploit this onshore opportunity, it doesn't make financial and viability to move to offshore wind.
Okay. And so what kind of yields can we achieve over the next 2-3 years? In the previous cycle, we remember we have crossed some 2.6 to 2.7% kind of yield. So is it possible to reach that kind of yields over the next 2-3 years when the capacity goes up and utilization inching up and there is very high demand for the product?
So we believe that anything about 2% is possible. At least for the next financial year, that is what the management of the company expects.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Rishi's answer. See, in those days, when we used to get average blended yield in excess of 2.7% or 2.8%, in those years, we used to get a good amount of overtime. Now, because of the good project execution from the client side, the overtime quantum has substantially reduced. So getting those kind of yields is now history. So we believe that we will achieve yield in excess of 2% going forward.
Also, in the past, we had a healthy mix of used and new equipment. But nowadays, we are purchasing mostly brand new equipment. And therefore, sometimes the yield may be at 2% is where we expect the yield to land down.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir. I'll join back in the queue.
Melissa?
Sure. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rishabh Shah from KR Choksi Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Am I audible?
I have a couple of questions. The company has proposed to increase the share capital from 10 crores to 25 crores. Can you explain the reason behind it?
I will answer this question. This is just an enabling resolution that we intend to take the shareholder's approval. See, we have authorized capital of 10 crores, out of which 8 crores, 65 lakhs is already being consumed by issued and paid up share capital. So in near future, if we need to increase our share capital base, we thought it better to take the approval well within advance so that there should not be any holding. So it is just an enabling resolution that we intend to pass right now. We don't have a plan in near future, at least next 1 year, to go for any additional private placement of equity or do any rights issue or something like that. If we do, we will get back to you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Riken Gopani from Capri Global Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations for a great year in terms of the numbers. Sir, I wanted to firstly understand, in the presentations you have outlined your guidance about of adding about 264 crores worth of capital expenditure in FY24. If you could throw some more color on that in terms of, in comparison to the last 4-5 years of about 150 crores or less than that of capex, what is driving our view to accelerate the capex, and how do you see this as an ongoing basis over the next 2-4 years?
I can answer that question. You see, the country is in a capex upswing, and the infrastructure focus on infrastructure in the last 10 years has been very minimal. Now, looking forward, in the refinery and petrochemical space, nearly 80 million tons per annum of capacity is being added either as an enhancement, brownfield or greenfield project. In thermal power sector, almost 25 gigawatts of capacity are at various stages of construction. In steel sector, 13 million tons per annum of capacity addition is expected in this financial year. The cement industry plans to add about 80 million tons per annum by FY24. Nearly every tier 1, tier 2 metro city has a elevated or underground metro under construction. There are more than 20 airports that are being constructed across the country, including but not limited to Noida, Guwahati, and multiple such locations. Wind is expected to add about 5 gigawatts of capacity addition in FY24. So all round, all core sectors are firing on all cylinders, and there is sufficient demand or increased demand for grains. Therefore, management of the company has thought it prudent to invest about 263 crores, which has been approved by the board of directors. And we will be investing in capacity addition to cater to this demand.
Understood,
sir. Just to add this thought process. See, not only the CapEx is happening across all sectors, you must be aware that Government of India has allocated 10 lakh crore for infrastructure projects. Private CapEx are also happening on the same side. Plus, we have a robust order book and good pipeline. And our balance sheet, you must have seen, we have quite reduced our debt substantially. And because of that, board has approved the CapEx plan of 263 crores. Because the pipeline is also a healthy pipeline we have to cater to the needs of the customers.
Understood. But no, that is very helpful. Thank you for the detailed outlook. So do you see that, this capex would be mostly tied with whatever orders that you have in place, and therefore utilization of the new capacity would be very strong once you add that capacity as well?
So all capex that has been committed has already been backed by our order.
Okay, so you see a good utilization at the starting point of these these units that you purchased. And therefore, the related question being, in terms of utilization, we've moved quite strongly from 70s to now about 83% utilization. Where do you see this utilization in view of the strong demand? And I'm assuming therefore longer term engagements with your clients as well. Therefore, is there scope for utilization to further improve from wherever you are today?
So we expect utilization for FY24 to be above 80%. In terms of order book visibility, there are the most of the projects that we are associated with are multi-year projects. So some of our order book is we have visibility going into the next financial year as well. But we see good order visibility till the end of FY24, a very healthy inquiry pipeline and almost 300 crores odd of order book which needs to be executed in this financial year FY23-24. So if you can relate that order book to last year's numbers, you can extrapolate where we would end the year at.
Understood, sir. That is very helpful, sir. And just one last question, which is on the gross block number. So do you indicate in your presentations the gross block of cranes? So if you could outline the number at the end of FY23.
So you want to understand the gross block of crane as on 31st March 2023, right? That number.
Yes, sir.
It is
yes, sir.
2,300 crores.
2,300 crores.
300 crores. Yeah.
Got it. I have some more questions, but I'll come back in between. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manish Banthia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
So you'll need to be a little louder, sir.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations for the great results. However, when I reviewed the financial statements, I could see that there has been a significant jump in the operating and other expenses line item. So is it a trend that is going to continue going forward, or are there any one-offs incorporated into this particular line item?
You are talking about the Q4 operating expenses, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
See, there has been an increase in the freight cost and the manpower cost in the Q4 vis-a-vis the third quarter number. This is primarily, the freight cost is primarily on account of movement of certain cranes, because certain cranes got dehired and got deployed with some other client. So there is a movement of cranes and the freight cost has gone up. In the manpower cost, so there has been an increase in the manpower because of the deployment of additional cranes, plus the operating expenses relating to the EPC business that we are carrying out. So there is a quantum jump in the labor charges, and that's why the operating expenses has been slightly increased in the Q4 vis-a-vis the Q3 number.
I would like to add to this. If you look at our operating revenue on an annualized basis, we have hit 486 crores for FY23. Now, that is a 30% growth year-on-year for FY22. You know, our expenses for those 2 years are similar, and this is reflected in our EBITDA. Our EBITDA was 47% for FY22. Maintaining a similar level of expense, we have been able to improve the EBITDA for FY23 all the way up to 59%. Which is a 12% jump.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Very clear. And the next question is in terms of the segment revenues. What I observe is that today, although we are planning to actually become a full turnkey solution provider, as far as the wind EPC and the project EPC revenues are concerned, it comprises almost just 2.5% of the total revenues of the company. In the coming future, do we expect this share to go up in the overall revenues?
Yes. So strategically, the company is looking at allied businesses, and we are focused on driving those two revenue segments for both project and EPC. Last year was the first year where we had started. But going forward, we expect to add more revenue coming from those two verticals.
So in terms of the overall gross margins, will there be any dilution in the overall gross margin in percentage terms?
Shyam?
See, currently the EBITDA margin for both these business segments put together is roughly around 35 to 40%, because in most of the cases we are outsourcing some of the jobs because we don't have expertise. Once we develop the expertise, we may get some kind of leeway to increase or may meet the cost optimization. So currently the EBITDA margin from this segment is on an average 35 to 40%.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that answers my queries.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rushabh Shah from KR Choksi Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, last time we did huge capex and then market fell off the cliff, leading to huge interest burden with falling revenues. So how do you manage such high risk, and how are we better than placed than the previous cycle?
Rishi, would you like to take this question or should I answer?
No, please go ahead. I'll add towards the end. Go ahead, Shah.
When we did a huge capex in the financial year 15 and 16 and 16 and 17, we did a huge capex of almost 800 crores in those 2 years. After that, there was a downturn in the economy, more particularly with respect to the wind sector, where the government has changed the method of bidding for the wind sector from feed-in tariff to reverse auction. And that's how you must have seen the wind installation in India has come down from 5.3 gigawatt to 1.7 to 1.5 gigawatt on an average in last 3 to 4 years. Now, government, first of all, has scrapped the method of bidding. So they have scrapped that policy. Now you can bid in a sealed envelope. So that is the first thing which has happened, and that's why the wind installation is going to increase going forward. In FY23, India has already completed 2.3 gigawatt of wind installation. Now, government has set an ambitious target of 8 gigawatt wind installation going forward. So there is a good amount of business we see from the wind sector. And if you see overall exposure, when it was in the year financial year 16-17, it was more than 70-75%. We have reduced the exposure to the wind industry. Okay, that was the first thing. Secondly, we have taken a huge amount of debt in financial year 15-16 and 16-17. We had a debt in excess of 550 crores. You must have noticed that we have substantially reduced the debt, and the debt level as on today is 160 crores. You must have noticed that in the financial year, we did a capex of 111 crores. Last year, we did a capex of 161 crores. In spite of that, our debt is come to 160 crores only. So now we have strengthened our balance sheet. You must have seen company has earned a cash accrual in excess of 233 crores. So we are better off as compared to the previous cycle. That is the first thing. Secondly, not only from the wind sector, the capex is happening across all the sector where the cranes are deployed. And that is being reflected in the yield as well as the utilization, and obviously in the turnover of the company. So just to give some of the answers, I think we are better placed as compared to what we were in financial year 15-16 and 16-17.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit from Marshmallow. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thanks once again for the conference call. Highly appreciate it. Great set of numbers as well. I was curious to follow up on the authorized share capital. So as Mr. Kajalin mentioned, we have more than 230 crore of cash flow that we generated. And with the next year looking strong, I'm guessing the cash flow could go up even more. So in that context, the authorized capital increase. I had a guess that it could be because of it could be for some sort of a bonus issue or split of something. Is that in the cards, or is that too much guesswork right now?
It's too much guesswork, as we have already clarified. It's an enabling resolution. If there are any updates, the management after the board approval will update all stakeholders.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And the second question is, Mr. Sanghvi, you mentioned that a lot of the order book, you have long-term contracts beyond FY24 as well. And so you have two interesting scenarios, two interesting things happening together, where you have customers asking for long-term order books, and you have very high utilization coming in. So how do we think of yields in that context? Because wouldn't it be better to have short-term contracts and then reprice them higher going forward? How do you think about...
So it's a strategy call that the sales team along with the management take. There are certain customers who we know are going to be repetitive customers who have long-term plans. For example, in the wind industry, their annual gigawatt capacity addition, their annual wind energy capacity addition is more than a gigawatt. So for them, what we get into is 12-month contracts, where there is a clause in the contract enabling us to renegotiate commercial terms for any further extensions. It is a mixed bag where certain portion of the fleet is kept for long-term contracts or committed to customers for long-term contracts, and certain portion of the fleet we play in the short-term market where we are able to take advantage of the dynamic pricing based on the situation. And this is how sometimes we may able to push the yield beyond 2% for the quarter.
So that was very helpful. On the order book that you have given, 233 crore last year and 299 crore this year, 300 crore almost. Would it be possible to share with us what was the yield at which the order book was in beginning of FY23 and the order book today? Is it possible to share that?
No, because on the order book is the expected, Shyam?
No, we will not disclose this number.
Okay, perfect. So that's fine.
It's true price sensitive and we don't want to disclose this number to public at large. It's a business secret, okay?
At the end of the day, we have to live with our customers.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Thank you. Thank you for that, sir. And just wanted to talk about the cycle also in bit and a little bit more. So, I mean, it's great to see the positivity that we have across the sectors, which as Mr. Kajali explained, was not there in the last time around. I wanted to get a sense or get your views on where do you think we are in terms of the cycle this time around? I mean, are we in mid-cycle, are we in the beginning of a cycle, or into an up-cycle? How do you think about that at the board level?
So, we don't believe that the current sentiment is a short-term sentiment. At least I don't believe it. I cannot speak for my board or the entire organization. And there is sufficient traction or project planning from multiple private players that have long-term plans up till 2030.
Okay, perfect. And last question, sir, in the opening comments, Mr. Sanghvi, you mentioned that you generated very heavy cash, which allows for expenditure into the cranes and allied activities, and we intend to spend on allied activities as well. So is it the EPC in project space, and how do you look at EPEX outside of cranes for the next 2-3 years?
So as of right now, the 263 crores of committed CAPEX, which has already been approved by the board, and there are orders to back this CAPEX, is all in our core business. Any further CAPEX that would be done, if any, or for allied businesses, would be subject to the approval of the board.
Understood. So, let's say 5 years out, not more than that, but 3 to 5 years out, given our position in the country already with the top crane player and we are the 5th largest in the world, I'm just curious, so how do you see Sanghvi? I'm not asking for numbers at all. I'm asking about the segments that we'll operate in the infrastructure space in the country or other spaces if you think that makes sense. So just wanted to get your sense there.
So crane is a very central aspect of any infrastructure project. And we have the benefit of working across several sectors. We are not limited to any one sector. Moreover, we have a brand name and a brand recognition along with a 33-year track record, which a lot of corporate houses and government agencies appreciate. So looking forward, we will be going to the customers to understand what are their pain points and what are the solutions that we can provide them that are within our scope of business or our mission and vision. So around allied businesses is what we would be looking at exploring going forward. leveraging all the levers that are already operating in our favor.
Thank you so much, sir. Just answer all my questions and I'll get back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Melissa?
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manan Patel from Airavat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for good numbers and declaring a good dividend. Sir, my first question is related to the capex and capex of the competitors as well. So while we are committing a big capex, do you see the competition also having the balance sheet and ability, given the demand in the country, they are also doing similar amount of capex and the competitive scenario this way?
So I don't comment on competition's capex. But to put things in context, we are the only organized and listed player in this space. So you may draw your inference from that.
Sir, I understand we have a very high market share as well. So the idea is to understand how is the industry behaving and their ability. But as you said, you don't comment. So I'll move to the next question. Sir, so we have, you have a good order book visibility and the amount of installation almost when you expect to double this year. So in that context, don't you think the yield projections that we are giving around 2%, which we have already hit in the Q4, is too conservative, or how do you think about that?
We believe that 2% is a fair number. If we communicate a yield at a higher level and underperform, then our shareholders get upset. If we give a lower yield and overperform, then also they get upset. So either way, 2% is the number we are talking about.
Okay, okay, that makes sense. And sir, you mentioned about the new cranes and old cranes mix. So in the current gross block, around 2,300 crores. So new cranes would be around 300 to 400 crores. So is it possible to give a breakup or a broad guideline on what would be the difference between yields of old cranes and new cranes?
No, it's a price sensitive information. It's the average blended rate. That's why we started giving the price average blended yield for our to our stakeholders.
And a clarifying question is statement is that it's not new and old, but it is first hand purchase versus pre-owned cranes or used cranes.
Okay, okay, got it, sir. And the last question would be related to the EPC. We have entered into project EPC as well. So I wanted to understand our scope of activities in the EPC business, because it's new for us and
right.
We might be outsourcing some part. So could you help us understand in a project what all activities you would be undertaking in the EPC?
So it's a good question, and I would like to share the following information with everyone present. So there has been a transition in the wind industry in the last 2 years, where the OEM has now been focused on delivering the product to their customer and not undertaking the execution of the project. On the other hand, the customer of the OEM is an IPP who doesn't have the project experience to do a complete project execution in the wind industry. So we see that there is a scope for a player such as ourselves where we can get involved in the providing turnkey EPC services for the wind industry. Cranes is a majority of the portion of the construction of a wind farm. We have started developing in-house expertise to provide services other than cranes around various activities involved with the construction of a wind farm. Surface logistics, intercarting, foundations. So there are three categories of mechanical, electrical and civil. BOP, which is balance of plant, which are the services around which we are offering to our customers. In project EPC, we typically for the bigger projects such as fertilizer plants, refineries and petrochemical, etc., there is a need to not only provide a crane on a rental basis but to also undertake allied activities such as equipment erection, alignment, engineering solutions, fabrication, structural work, erection, so on and so forth. So there again, our interest is to provide to win composite work or composite orders, whereby we, using our strength in crane, we are able to leverage our know-how with the customer, with our operational capabilities and our in-house talent, engineering skill sets to provide a composite solution to the contractor, principal contractor or plant owner. So that is the vision around which currently we are focused on. Again, wind, both wind and project EPC contributed about 10 crores of, to the top line last year. And we are focused on growing this out in the coming financial year.
Thank you, sir. That's very helpful. And just one add-on to this. So are we open to any inorganic opportunities, especially in the EPC part of the business?
If any opportunity presents itself, the management will evaluate it and seek the board's recommendation on the same.
Thanks a lot, sir. Wish you all the best for coming forward. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Arpit Ranka from Cole Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of our questions have been asked already. Just a quick follow-up on what was communicated earlier in the call. So from a strategy perspective, what's driving our decision to buy or prefer newer cranes over the used crane despite the lower yield, if you could help us understand?
So typically hub heights in the country have gone up from 90 meters to 140 meters. And world over, there are very few cranes that can go up to 140 meter hub height. This is a trend in the industry, including the European market, where the hub heights have been going up exponentially over the last few years. So availability of used cranes is a challenge. That is the first part. The second part is that the newer cranes have newer safety features, newer technology. They have more flexibility in terms of the components that can be used for different industries. So there is a lot of benefits in going for new cranes.
Okay, so is it fair to assume that what you've given is a gross capex for the next year at 260 odd crores, but the cranes which are not, or maybe these newer cranes will replace some of the older which are less relevant. So would there be a plan to like sell them off also how is the management thinking about it?
So older cranes are, don't become irrelevant. They're still fungible across other sectors such as cement, steel, thermal power, refineries and petrochemicals, metros, railways, bridges, airports, etc. So we with a 80% plus capacity utilization, not many cranes are idle as of now.
Okay, no, perfect.
So just to add Rishi's thought process, see, we have been constantly selling the old cranes. For example, we sold 11 cranes in FY20, 12 in FY21. In FY22, we sold 6 cranes. Last year, we already sold 7 cranes. This year also, we have some plans to sell old cranes. So the management purpose is to revamp the crane fleet, and that will be on going forward also.
And this brings down the average age of the fleet.
Perfect. And what's the average age of the fleet? It used to be 12 years, I remember. What's that right now?
No, it is more than 22 years, because we have a lot of old cranes, no? Still.
Okay. So as of now, it's about 20 years, I think, 2022.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the past, this is the last question. So in the past, you've spoken about that whenever feasible, we will consider a buyback. At the current valuation, you think the board is still kind of, you're open to that, or you're saying that, just like to understand your thought on that.
We have taken it under advisement. We have already declared a dividend of 4 rupees.
Yeah.
If a buyback is to be considered, the board will take a final decision.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for your time. First of all, congrats on the work done on the balance sheet over the last few years. So my first question is largely related to EPC business. Now, just want the thought, you did explain cover fair bit of cover my answer, but just from the risk management perspective, how much capital would go over the next 2-3 years in this business? And secondly, what is risk management we are taking, considering historically we have seen this business does have challenges of working capital or capital getting stuck. So from that perspective, what are the measures we are taking? That's my first question.
Okay. So first of all, we are not doing the entire EPC as per se, because EPC is the entire equipment, procurement and the construction. Currently, we are doing only a very small portion of that C part. Okay. I know it's a labor intensive as well as the working capital intensive business. Currently, we have not allocated any funds or we have not done any capital allocation for this business. Okay. Now, we are going very cautiously in this business. And in wind EPC space, we are doing the business with the IPP in most of the cases, where they have a strong balance sheet and strong financials. So we are going very cautiously in terms of credit period, payment terms, to avoid any risk if at all arises in this kind of business. So that is being already being taken care of in terms of risk management perspective.
Okay, thanks a lot. The second question is on the CAPEX guidance. Now, how much would be funded through debt and how much probably through other internal accruals? And secondly, just related to that, do we have any other non-core assets like land or anything that we can sell further to fund this CAPEX?
So the CAPEX will be funded partly through internal accruals, that is to the tune of 30%. And the balance 70% will be availed by way of long-term loans from the bank.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Just to clarify, with our existing internal accruals, we don't need to liquidate any non-core assets to fund CapEx.
Okay.
There is sufficient cash flow generated through the business to fund our CapEx.
Sure. Sure. Thanks. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manan Shah from Money B Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope this engagement with the investor community goes on going forward. My first question was on the order book. Now, if we look at our order book on a sequential basis, what we had declared during the previous quarter was around 449 crore versus this quarter what we've declared is around 300 crore. So sequentially, we see a decline in this order book, even though on a Y-on-Y basis, there is a significant jump. So if you can just, highlight if this is a trend that we generally see that majority of the orders are booked during Jan-Feb period, or if you can just highlight a little bit on that side.
See, basically, you have to see how much order book or the how much order company has secured in the beginning of the year. Because once you secure the order, we need to execute those orders. So obviously the cranes are booked for next 6 to 8 months period. And that's how we slowly and gradually build up the revenue over a period of time. Because this order book is given for a particular period. For example, from 1st of April 2023 to 31st March 2024. One has to see from the other angle that how much of the revenue or most of the order company has already secured. See, if you see the order book for last financial year on the same date, it was 236 crore. And we already achieved a turnover of 455 crores. So almost 50% of the order book company has secured in the first month itself. So you have to see from that angle.
Understood. Thank you for that clarification. Secondly, my question was, is there any differential in the yields for a same crane, whether it is first hand or a second hand?
See, generally, the yield for the brand new cranes are on the lower side. And the used crane that we have, since the cost of acquisition is relatively less, is on the higher side. That's why we started giving the average blended.
Understood. So basically, there is no difference in the rentals, absolute rentals that we make, whether the particular crane is a used crane or a new crane.
Yes, there is no difference.
Yes.
Okay. Understood.
You might get a slight premium from certain customers, but that's about it.
Understood. The various sectors that we cater to, can you, rank them on the basis of yields that we make, for example?
No, yield is flat across all sectors.
Okay. Understood. And earlier we've guided that we plan to limit the wind sector exposure to around 40%. So that should continue going forward as well, right? Or do we see any change in the mix?
So as I've already described to everyone, all sectors of the economy are firing on all cylinders. I've mentioned almost 80 million tons per, there's almost 200 million tons per annum of capacity addition across all sectors, and about 30 gigawatts of power, both thermal and wind, to be added. Now it is a management's discretion on where we take the orders from, because we have a very healthy order pipeline and the yield is flat across all sectors. So what we do is we focus on utilization on a FIFO basis. Who comes first, we cater to, so that we can secure the order book and drive up the utilization.
Understood. Lastly, on the CAPEX that we are doing, so when do we expect this capacity to be available? I mean, First two quarters, this capacity should be available.
Yes. Shyam, how much of the CAPEX have we already executed?
Almost 200 crores.
Oh, 200 crores of this CAPEX has already been executed. So this capacity is already available?
Yeah, in the first quarter itself. Most of the cranes have come in the back end of the April and some cranes have come in the month of May also. And some
but they take about a month to start generating revenue from docks to site.
Understood. And you've been saying that we have already secured, these are already secured by orders.
Most of the majority portion of the CAPEX has been backed by orders, yes.
Okay, understood. Sure, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Nahar from Altana Enterprises.
Hello.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi Rishi and Shyam sir. Congratulations on a fantastic last 3 to 5 years. Just wish you all the very best and I hope you continue doing the con calls in the future as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Thanks for taking my question, sir. My question relates to Q4 financials. If we see throughout year on year, there is a very good growth. But in Q4, the growth was comparatively less at 16% and the utilization also at 84% versus last year 88%. Was there any deferment or any anything which has happened which has kept this revenue lower?
No, there is no deferment as such. We are a listed company and we have a big four, one of the big four, one of the big six as our auditor. So there is no deferment of revenue. Your question is absolutely right. In FY21, Q3 versus Q4, our revenue has increased by almost 48%. In the next financial year, it has increased by almost 38%. And in the current financial year, that is the last financial year, it has increased only by 4%. Now, what has happened, most of the order that we have secured in the beginning of the year, now they have a long-term order, basically. So revenue has become almost flat during the year. So there's no postponement or deferment of revenue, and more or less this is primarily on account of securing order on a long-term basis. That's why the revenue is more or less flat, which was not the case in the earlier financial year.
What I got execution, was there any lag or no? Means execution wise, like the utilization generally in the fourth quarters are very high.
Correct. Absolutely
this
right.
This time it has remained lower. So since
there has been some movement of crane happened in the fourth quarter of the last financial year. We almost moved some 23 crane packages in the fourth quarter. That's why, because of the transit time, there has been some dip in the revenue because most of the cranes were in transit. We were having order, but the order got executed in the third quarter of the last financial year. And after the expiry of the order with the customer, the crane has moved in the fourth quarter. So because of that transit time, there has been some dip in the revenue. Although we got some mobilization revenue, but it is not that healthy to match the previous year top line growth, Q3 versus Q4.
And sir, second question relate to ROE. Though we are doing very well on profitability and cash generation, but still the ROE is sub 15%. Mainly because you deploy a lot of capital and the debt is quite low in asset business. And second thing, yield has to go up or you might have to leverage, then only this ROE can go up.
This is a capital intensive industry. If you are talking about the annualized ROE, it's still healthy, I would say, considering the nature of industry that we have. We have reduced the debt also because the interest cost has significantly come down as compared to what it was in the 4 years back or 5 years back. It has come down from 64 crores to 16 crores. So one has to see the particular nature of our industry. So ROE for our company like ours, 15%, I think in current scenario is very good. You can see our net profit margin almost 23%, cash profit margin is 46%, which itself is a very good number or healthy number, I would say.
So you want to say this ROE will remain around this level, or is there any scope for expansion in that?
So what we mean to say is that it may not be the right metric to measure our company. Right, Sham?
Yeah. Because my depreciation charge itself is very high. 121 crores is my depreciation charge.
No, that is the case with all the asset heavy companies. Whatever we take.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, fine. Thank you.
This is the operator. Should we move to the next question, sir?
I think we can move to closing remarks, please.
Sure, sir. So would you like to give any closing remarks?
Yes. So I once again, I would like to thank all the ladies and gentlemen for joining this call and sparing your valuable time to hear updates for the Q4 and FY23 analyst and investor call. We look forward to continuing what we have been doing. And our outlook for the business is positive and for the economy and industry. This is Rishi Sanghvi, and along with me was Mr. Sham Kajale, who is the joint managing director and CFO of the company. Thank you everyone, and thank you Melissa. Have a good day.
Thank you members. Thank you,
Thank you everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sanghvi Movers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.